Hallelujah. Praise God.
I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. I want to give a little devotional word, if I can, this morning, just considering and talking about how the Lord adds to His church. Aren't you thankful that He adds to His church? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now I know I have a real challenge. I'm preaching to sick folk. And that's a challenge. Amen. Acts chapter 2, I want to look down at verse 42. Verse 42. I know when we say Acts chapter 2, we immediately go to verse 1. And we immediately read from verses 1 to verse 4. But how many of you understand this morning that that was not the end of Pentecost? That wasn't the end of the story? As much as I love verses 1 through 4, can I tell you there's some more things dealing with the rest of the chapter and the rest of the story that involve the church, and it involves us today. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through verse 47. If you have it, can you say amen? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and in breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And here's the thing. And the Lord added to the church daily such that should be saved. Amen. What an exciting moment and a time that would have been to experience the Lord adding to the church daily. We get excited when someone comes and gets saved once a week, or we think it's unusual if they get saved once a week. We think it's unusual if it's twice in a month or so. But can I tell you, in the power of Pentecost and in the power of the book here, they said that he added to the church daily as such that should be saved. That's what I want to preach on just for a moment, just if I can. The Lord added to the church. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord God, and we just honor you today, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus right now that your anointing will rest upon this house and rest in this family, oh God, in this congregation of believers, Almighty God. And as we, Lord God, look forward to adding these to our church family, God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will, through the power of the Holy Ghost, reach out to more, oh Father God, and bring them into this family, Almighty God. Anoint me, I pray, in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, in all these things, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the house said, amen. I'm going to talk to my folks that are joining, but I want to talk to everybody this morning. When the Lord adds you, when God brings us into the family, there again, I don't think that the church is some dead organization. I don't think it's something where we come in and it's some kind of dead ritual or some kind of dead organization. I believe that the church is a living organism, and we're a family of God. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I know we don't all get along. I don't get along with my physical family all the time. But can I tell you, we're still family. Amen. We're the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me just point out a few things to you this morning about when the Lord adds us to His church. First of all, we're a part of God's family.
Amen. We're a part of God's family. This morning Jesus said about God's family. Let me just tell you about God's family. God's family, the church, is what Jesus said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can I tell you this morning, there are a lot of preachers that are preaching doom and gloom and despair and saying the church is on its last leg and the church hadn't really advanced any farther or gone any farther and everything's just corrupt and messed up. I can see that in some places, but can I tell you, I believe that the church is still the greatest thing there ever was on the face of this world. I believe that the church is not dying, but we are strengthening through the power of God and through the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me the church is dying when there are churches, underground churches in China. They can't worship like we worship, but yet there are thousands by thousands of children of God who are worshiping God in underground tunnels and everything. Don't tell me the church is dying when men and women are still being persecuted for their faith and they're trusting in God, but yet they'll still say, I'm going to keep trusting in Jesus Christ and I'm going to keep spreading the gospel. Don't tell me the church is dying when God brings us into His family and a soul can be saved and a drunkard can be saved and a liar and a backstabber and a prostitute, they can all be saved. The church is alive this morning. The church is alive this morning. Let me tell you something about the text that I read to you. God's family, the church, number one, we believe in biblical doctrine. If it ain't in the book, throw it out. Amen. If you need to get your doctrine and your truth from the book and the word of the living God. We believe in biblical doctrine, salvation, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, divine healing, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in biblical doctrine. We believe that Christ Jesus died for the sins of man and then He rose again on the third day. We believe in biblical doctrine. Amen. Hallelujah. We believe in the fellowship of the church. Amen. We believe it's all right to get together and commune with one another and have fellowship and build together the kingdom of the living God. I question sometimes these folks that are so super spiritual that sometimes they don't believe in fellowship and they don't know who to associate with. Can I tell you this morning, I thank God I've got millions of brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, my Lord, and we're a part of the fellowship. They fellowship and they broke bread together. They were able to enjoy some cake and ice cream together. Amen. They were able to enjoy bread together. They fellowship in the house of God. The church that I'm talking about, God's family that I'm talking about, believes in prayer. We believe in prayer. We believe that it's by the power of prayer that God can get things done and move in our lives. We believe in community compassion. Let me explain to you what I mean, because here's the verse in verse 45. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need of. And it excites me this morning that we believe in a community and a family where when one person is hurting, we can go and help them. Amen. That we believe in building the family of God. And then what the book of Acts says is they had singleness of heart and they praised God. We believe in worship. The church, God's family, ought to get together. I know you all are sick. I know you all want me to right now just hush. Let's get this thing over with and y'all go home and blow your noses. I know that. I understand that. But can I tell you this morning, we believe in worship and giving God the glory this morning. For the church that I'm a part of is alive. I didn't join a dead thing to be a part of some dead kind of organization. But I came to be a part of something that's alive this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's family, what Paul said, is a church, a glorious church without spot or blemish. I thank God that I'm a part of God's holy family. I'm a part of His holy family this morning. And I've come in under the blood. And you can't go wrong if you come in under the blood. I'm a part of His family. Watch this. As the Lord adds to the church, not only does He add to God's family, but He also adds to the local church family. Amen. When you join, and you've been here for eons, it would seem like. When you join, you're a part of the local church family. Can I tell you, we have a purpose this morning. Amen. I want to read you just the mission statement, and you'll hear about it. I'm going to preach it so much that I'm going to stab it to death over and over again. But I believe that we are a community of compassionate, helping, united people with a reservoir of resources called out to heal the brokenhearted through the power of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's what the church ought to be. We're not some kind of a legalistic kind of ritualistic dead formalism kind of thing. We are the body of Christ, and we have a vision to win the lost at any cost. Amen. We have a passion, and that is to, we are called to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus, when he came up to those, even when they were in sin, he didn't condemn them. He said they were condemned already. You go to the woman that was in sin, who was caught in the act of adultery, which by somehow, somebody that caught her in the act must have been sinning himself, looking through a window some. I don't know why they didn't pull out and stone him instead of her. But can I tell you, here she is, and she's caught in the act of adultery. But watch this. Jesus said, where are your accusers? I don't see any of your accusers. He said, neither do I condemn you. Don't go and stay in your sin, but go and sin no more. Jesus has the power to set people free. That's the part of the church that I'm in. I'm not a part to condemn. I'm a part to set free this morning. Hallelujah. I'm a part to set free. We have a plan. Bless God. Thank God for a plan. We've got a plan to use those reservoirs of resources. Number one, we use this. We use the word of the living God. But number two, we use the power of the Holy Ghost. Bless God, we use his power and his anointing. We have a plan to use his anointing. Not only that, we have a plan this morning to use what God calls a structure of the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, and he gave some to be apostles. Let me translate. Missionaries. He gave some to be prophets. Some to be pastors, some to be teachers, some to be evangelists. Every one of those areas in ministry we can use for the glory of God. But then here's the beautiful thing, and here's what involves you. We use your talents and your giftings and your abilities. And I know you're not joining this morning, but you and your wife are going to join a little bit later on. You're not getting away, or I'm going to tie a lasso around you. I'll turn this cord into a lasso or something. But it's through your talents and your giftings and abilities that we build the kingdom of God up. For so long, and I've been here a little over 2 years. Ain't y'all tired of me yet? I've been held here a little over 2 years. And for the first year or so, all I heard was, we're getting old and we need some backup. We need some help. Amen. Well, can I tell you this morning, a wonderful thing is going to take place. And a wonderful thing will take place when those join and others join. We're getting the backup and we're getting the help that we need. They're coming in. If they come in one by one, that's all right. I'll take them one by one, two by two, three by three, as long as they come in and help out in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank God we're getting it. So don't complain when they start helping out and they don't do it the way mama and grandma and grandpa did it before. Can I tell you, they're not your mama and your grandma and your grandpa. These are the children of God and they're the workers in the church. Amen. Well, bless God. Did I say I wasn't going to preach this? We're a part of the local family. But then watch this. We're a part of the denominational family. I am proud to be a Pentecostal holiness member. Anybody else with me? I am proud of the fact that I have my roots set in Pentecostal holiness doctrine. When I got saved in a Pentecostal holiness church. I got saved during a vacation Bible school. And then when I came to the first service that I had ever attended, I saw people praying in the Spirit and shouting and giving God glory. And I looked over at my sister who had also gotten saved but is now backslidden. But she got saved. And I looked and said, what in the world have we got ourselves into? But then I realized when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I realized what we had gotten ourselves into. We're a part of the family of God Almighty. And we're a part. Thank God for Pentecost. I still believe it. I still believe that to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, that all you've got to do is come and yield yourself over to the Holy Ghost. And the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives it. I still believe in Pentecost, but I also believe in holiness, thank God. And I'm not trying to get the two backwards, okay? I believe in salvation and sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I still believe that a person can come under the saving blood of Jesus Christ and they can come through that same blood and be sanctified with the dominion of sin is broken over their lives. Thank God that we are believing in holiness. But then watch this, and I mentioned it just a few minutes ago, and then we're going to go on to our service, the rest of our service and ceremony. When God adds to the church, He adds us to the global family. We're a part of God's family. We're a part of the local church family. We're a part of the denominational family. But we're also a part of the global family. We are the, and I like the name change. I can't remember when it was, but I like the fact that we are the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. That we believe that there is, now I know this is going to shock some of you, but there is more than just Harker's Island. That's going to hurt some of y'all's feelings, but there's more than just Harker's Island. That Jesus said, I will give you this power, and you will go and be my witnesses unto me in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Now listen, when you joined this church, that you weren't a part of that globe. When you got saved, that's when you became a part of the global family. And I didn't know if you realized or not, but you've got millions upon millions of brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus all over the world. I every now and then, I know we feel like Elijah. I know we feel like crawling up somewhere underneath a tree and saying, Lord, I'm the only one serving you, and I'm the only one doing this, and I'm the only one doing that. And God has to remind us, I've got folk over in China and in Africa and in South. I've got millions that have not bowed their knee to Satan and neither kissed his foot. Bless God, we're a part of a global family. We're a part of a global family. Let me read this, because this is Article 14 of the International Pentecostal Holiness Church doctrine. We don't quote it a whole lot because we think it's more fancier just to talk about salvation, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, divine healing, second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what Article 14 says. We believe it is, and this is Pentecostal doctrine. We believe it is the responsibility of every believer to dedicate his life to carrying out the work of the Great Commission. Amen. If you don't know what the Great Commission is, let me sum it up in one word. Go. Amen. We believe in the global community of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know they don't look like you. I know some of you want to talk about, I've heard so many times, well, they came from a Baptist background. You got to be careful with them. And they came from a Methodist background. Can I tell you, you've got brothers and sisters that came from a Muslim background. But when they came under the blood of Jesus Christ, they're just as cleansed and just as saved as what you are. Hallelujah. Thank God this morning that the Lord adds to the church. That He adds to the church this morning. And He wants to add us this morning. He wants all of us to be a part of His kingdom this morning. Hallelujah. I look right across the congregation and I believe everybody in this place is saved. I don't know. I don't want to misunderstand or mistake anybody. But I believe we've all confessed of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior this morning. But if you haven't, can I tell you, now is the time to join the family of God. It's the greatest family that you will ever join in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. I want Brother Mike to come at this time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. It is exciting to me to add, y'all can't tell it, can you? It's exciting to me to add people into the family of God. Amen. It is exciting to me. Think for so long sometimes we, and every church does this, every church has a few that'll walk out. Every church has a few that they'll get up in years and they'll go on home to be with the Lord. And that's just a part of life. That's just a part of life. I don't know what you think about T.D. Jakes, but I do like his one statement. As a pastor, he said this, I'm just a bus driver. Some get on, some get off. But I'm just a bus driver. All I'm doing is headed to glory. Amen? All I'm doing is headed to glory, and I'm trying to take some folk with me. It's so exciting this morning to have Brother Josh. I'm so used to calling him Josh, just plain Josh. But Brother Joshua Guthrie with us, and Sister Allison with us as well, to come and join the church. I'm going to ask them to come and step forward and just come here together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to face me just for a moment. I'm going to ask them some of the same I'm going to ask them the exact same questions that I have had them ask or answer. And I'm just wanting them to confirm. And y'all say it with a loud yes, all right? I know you're soft-spoken, but just try to get it out there. Amen. The number one thing that we believe in is salvation. In fact, in order to join a church, we believe you need to be saved. Somebody say amen. You need to be saved. Josh and Allison, if you repented of your sins and confessed Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and believe that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, can you say yes? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. In fact, I've got here the sheets where both of them signed and the date of their salvation if you need further proof, but I don't need any further proof. Amen. IPHC doctrine. Have you read over the 14 articles of faith and received them and believe them and accept them as the doctrine of the Pentecostal Holiness Church? Amen. Amen. Will you strive to uphold these biblical truths that you found in the doctrines of the Pentecostal Holiness Church? Stewardship, and maybe all of us need to hear this. A part of stewardship is tithing. We believe that tithing is the 10% of your income. Amen. You don't believe me? Look in Genesis chapter 14, Malachi chapter 3, Matthew chapter 23. It's all there. It's all there. Old and New Testament. Amen. We believe that tithe belongs to the storehouse. Let me translate for you. That's to bring it in this house. Amen. Will you commit to the faithfulness of bringing your tithes and the offering we understand to be anything above and what God has blessed you with? We don't believe in zapping people dry. Amen. We believe that an offering is what God has blessed you abundantly with that you give out of your heart. But mainly, will you faithfully commit to bringing your tithes into this storehouse as members of this church? Amen. Amen. Attendance. We believe that God has ordained the Sabbath day as holy. Amen. We believe that you should be in the house of God. Unless in situations like this where half the congregation is sick or anything else. But we believe you ought to be in the house of God, that keeping the Sabbath day holy. Will you commit to your attendance in keeping the Sabbath day holy and keeping it sanctified unto God? Amen. Harkers Island Pentecostal Holiness Church has had a strong heritage in holiness. Amen. We have had a strong heritage in the doctrine of sanctification and holiness. And the evidence for those scriptures are in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, John's Gospel chapter 17. Will you commit your life unto the Lord as a holiness unto the Lord, living biblical holiness, scriptural holiness unto God? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I thank God for Josh and Allison. They've already been so much. In fact, Lee has as well. They've already been so much a part of this church. They've already done so much for the kingdom of God. And I thank God that God is using young people. They're younger than I am. Somebody give me a cane right now. But I thank God that God is using and raising up young people to be a part of the kingdom of God. This is not the future. This is the present. Amen. This is the present. Praise God. You have heard their testimony, how they said they were saved, how they said that they believe and they receive the Pentecostal doctrine, how they will stand for and believe in and commit to the faithfulness of stewardship, of tithing and attendance, of how they will commit to a lifestyle of holiness and living biblical holiness unto the Lord. Amen. Will you turn and face the congregation? I need to hear a motion that we will receive them into the family this morning. Amen. I need a second. Amen. All in favor, can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Will you stand at this time? And we'll just simply close out the service this morning as simply a right hand of fellowship. Don't give them any colds, but just give them the right hand of fellowship, all right, this morning. And then you are free and at liberty to go. Can you welcome them into the family of God this morning? Amen.